You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
All right, we're going to jump into the complete series that you started last Sunday. Hebrews is a great book in the Bible. I hope you've read parts of it. Otherwise, this is a good day to start. Hebrews is not actually a letter. It's a sermon. And it's written to Jews. The recipients are converted Jews who are now believing in Jesus Christ. And the author, whoever it is, he is constantly talking about Jesus. He's constantly trying to magnify him, and he's actually comparing Jesus to central figures in the Old Testament, like Moses and Abraham, comparing them and telling they were forerunners, but Jesus is the real thing. He is the real deal. So if you have your Bible with you, why don't you jump into chapter 4 in Hebrews? I'm going to read 5 verses there from verse 4 to 8. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you? Awesome. All right. Therefore, he writes, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the very foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterwards, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Okay, this scripture can seem a little, it's deep, you know? We're not going to do all the details, but I'm going to pick some of the key things and key words in this scripture and just hull around it for a few minutes. Okay, the first point today, if you're taking notes, jot it down. If you're not taking notes, just bring up your phone and jot down some of the points in some of the scriptures. You can study them when you come home, all right? All right, the first point is rest in Jesus. Because the author is comparing the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, which the people of Israel were living in and living under, to the New Covenant that we are living in and living under. And the Old Testament, he says, it's about deeds. It's about actions. It's about doing stuff. And you have to fulfill specific things in order to become righteous. And in order to stay righteous, you have to do stuff. Excuse me. And when I read through the Bible and see the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, see, it's about the law, you know. Moses received the law. It's do's and don'ts. And I've seen that you have, I've recognized that you have a lot of do's and don'ts here in the U.S. Especially when you're driving. I rented a big car because I love big cars. Back home, I have a small car. But when it comes to the U.S., I want a big car. Because everyone else in the U.S. has big cars, so I've seen the road signs that says, "Buckle up, y'all! It's the law." Like this sign, I saw this the other week, and I understand. Of course, you need to buckle up, y'all. I like that. But the funny thing is, at the bottom, it's the law, and that's the reason you should buckle up. And there's a lot of other things that, you know, you use is the statement, the law, to enforce it, like, stop for pedestrians, it's the law. Or, no littering, it's the law. No parking, it's the law. Or eat burgers, or buy a pickup truck, whatever, it's the law, you know? But the law in the Old Covenant, the law in the Old Testament doesn't make us better. It just scares us, actually. It tells us how bad we are. And it tells us that we will never make it. The law was actually created so that we would understand that we are sinners. And there's nothing wrong with the law. The law is perfect, the Bible says. But the problem is that we are not. We are not perfect, and the law is perfect. So there's nothing wrong with the law, but it was created to help us understand that we need salvation. We need another righteousness than the one that we can create ourselves. Therefore, God had something better for us. I would say that the theme word for the book of Hebrews is better. Say better. Better. There's something better for us. How is that? How can something be better than something that's perfect? If the law is perfect, how can something be better? How can anything be better than perfect? Well, that's the new covenant. And that's what the author of the Hebrews is actually speaking about. It's the new covenant. It's the new deal. And that is about Jesus. Well, compare the old and the new covenant. It's the old covenant is trying to fulfill things. And the new covenant is about you're being fulfilled. The old is trying to be perfect. And the new one is being perfected. The old one is trying to save myself. And the new one is I'm being saved by Jesus. So that's why we need to rest in him. We cannot rest in something else. And the theme for today is rest, the Lord's rest. We need to rest in Jesus, not in our deeds, not in our actions. We need to rest in Jesus. The people of Israel doubted in the desert, and they asked themselves and asked each other, is the Lord among us or not? Imagine what they saw. They had food coming down from heaven every day. There was a cloud of fire, and they saw so much cool things happen. God opened the sea for them. And they asked themselves, is the Lord among us or not? What do you think? Now, God's rest that the author is speaking about here is actually about trusting God. It's about trusting God, and trusting God is called faith. So it's like us saying, or if you would ask me, Nicholas, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, of course I do. But I don't know if he cares. I don't know if he's here. I don't know if he's listening. I don't know if he's, you know, doing something in my life. But entering into the rest of Jesus and rest in Jesus is to know that he is always present in your life. Not only when you are at your best, not only when you're successful, he is always present. He is present when you are at the lowest. He's present when you feel I'm the worst sinner in the world. He is always present because he loves you. And it's interesting that it says here in the scripture, they shall not enter into my rest. You know, the rest seems to belong to God. He is the owner of things. He's the owner of the rest. It belongs to God. And he, since he owns it, decides who to invite, who to give it to. And that's the case with everything God has. He gives it away freely. It's impossible to earn. I mean, think about it. Which one of all the awesome things that you have, the good things that you have in your life, can you buy? Can you deserve? Can you earn? I mean, think about the joy God is offering us. The peace, the guidance, the revelations, the favor, the protection. I cannot earn that. I can't deserve it. It's a gift of grace. And this, my friends, is at the core of the gospel. And that's what the author of the Hebrews is trying to explain to us. This is the gospel. This is the new covenant. This is about Jesus. We need to rest in him. And the gospel, my friends, is for everyone all the time. Sometimes we think the gospel is for people outside church, or the gospel is for people who is new to church, but that's not the case. The gospel is for everyone all our lives, wherever we go and whatever we do. We need to learn to rest in Jesus. You never get too mature, you never get too old to rest in him. Too often, I choose my own deeds before his grace. And the people of Israel did not trust God's plan, God's methods, God's gift. They were fixed, as I so often am, on their own capacity. And they said, it's impossible. We're going to enter into the promised land. It's impossible. They are too big for us. It's too hard. And I think that too often. Maybe you that do that too. I don't know. And their sin, the people of Israel, their sin was that they trusted themselves more than God. And that's why he said, they shall not enter into my rest, because you think you can do it on your own. But if you and I want to enter into his rest, we need to realize that it's all about him. It's not about our deeds, not about our actions. It's about trust. He's got you covered. He's got you. He's surrounded you. He's on your back. He's on your sides. He's above you and beneath you. He's all around you. Do you trust him? Because if you don't trust him, you can't enter into his rest, because then you're left to your own deeds, your own actions, your own performance. Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writes this in chapter 3, verse 20. He says, now to him who is able, listen, to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us. You see, there's a power at work from God called the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts, at work in our lives, which is not ours. It comes from God, and it helps you, actually, to be the person that you want to be. So let's not rely on our own deeds, our own capacity. Let's rely on the Lord so that we can enter into his rest. And that leads me to the second point of today. So write it down in your phone or wherever you're jotting. Rest in work. Oh, is that possible? You think I want to do that? Oh, that sounds good. You see, I'm a very driven person. I'm 44 years old in 2 weeks. I'm a very driven person. I love to create things. I love to solve problems. I love to get things going. I'm a kind of entrepreneurial person. And I think it's a God-given gift over my life. But sometimes I use this gift without trusting God. Instead of asking him when I don't know what to do, I often tend to just push harder, work harder. 12 months ago, I had a heart attack. I was 42 at that point, and I had a heart attack. It came from out of nowhere. And when I tried to, these last couple of months, trying to analyze, what is this about? Because I don't have that history in my family or nothing like it. It's about this message today. And the reason why we are on a sabbatical this summer is all about, we're trying to figure out, okay, this is not about me. This is not about me working harder, trying to perform better. It's about me learning to trust in him. And we need to learn that. And that is a lifelong education for us. God rest, even God rested. Do you hear me? God rested after creating the universe. He created 6 days and rested on the seventh. He's speaking about that in the scripture. God rested on the seventh day. And that's another thing called the Lord's rest. So we are also created, you are created to rest regularly. God actually commanded us to rest. So when I say, nah, I don't have time to rest, I need to work harder in order to do God's will, I'm actually too proud to do God's will. I need to humble myself. I saw another cool sign last week when I was driving through America. It says, too blessed to be stressed. I like that. And it's true. You know, I'm too blessed to be stressed. God has offered me so much. I don't need to be stressed. That's the devil wants me to be stressed. God doesn't want me to be stressed. God doesn't want me to worry, to be anxious. So I think the key to having an abundant life in Christ is about living by God's grace through faith. Because grace is his power, as we read, his power working within us, enabling us to do whatever we need to do in life. See, God will never call you to do things that he never gives you the power to do it. He will enforce you. He will reinforce you when necessary. So when we try to do everything in our own strength and leave God out of the equation, we get worn out. We get frustrated. I do. By my failures, by my mistakes, and by all the things I expected that God would do, but I'm trying to do them for him. No, he wants to do things for me, and I'm trying to do things for him. You see, he needs nothing from me, and he needs nothing from you. But still, he can use me. And still, he wants my heart, and still, he wants your heart. So we need to learn how to rest in work, because God doesn't want us to be passive, you know, doing nothing. That's not what God wants. He wants us to work, but he wants us to learn how to rest in the work. So when we lean on God, we actually enter into this rest that he is speaking about here in this passage. Enter into his rest. And then we can enjoy our lives while we work really, really hard, no matter what the circumstance it might be. Okay, so we read a couple of more verses here from verse 9. He says this, "So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest." I think it's interesting that he uses the word strive to rest. We need to strive to rest. It's an oxymoron, isn't it? But he means something with it. We need to enter God's rest, and we need to rest from our works, trusting that he is doing the works from us. Now, the rest of God is not a rest from work, because God created us and wants us to work when we're healthy. But it's about resting in work. It's partnering with God and to do what he's calling you to do by his grace. And leaving the parts that you and I can't do, leaving those parts in his hands, trusting him to do it. You know, you've often heard the phrase, maybe, if you've gone to church for a couple of years, I don't know, some of us has not, but if you've done that, you've heard the phrase, live by faith. Maybe you read it in the Bible, you need to live by faith. And sometimes we look upon that thing, look upon that, you know, and see, that sounds so hard. It's a fight, you know, all the time. And life can be a fight. Following Christ can be a fight, absolutely. But living by faith is not always a struggle. It could also be a rest, because it's about trust. Rest in work. And we can enter into God's rest in every area of our lives, our health life, our financial life, our family life, or whatever. We can enter into that rest in every area of our lives. But God doesn't want us to be passive. He wants us to rest in work. You know, a few months ago, I was out driving with my son, which you saw in the picture earlier. And we pumped some music. You know, we turned up the volume really loud, and he chose the songs, and we were, you know, having a good time. And we're passing this hospital, and the hospital streets in Sweden, I don't know, maybe that's the case in here, you need to drive really slow. So the speed limit was around, you know, 20 miles per hour or something. And I saw this crossing where a beautiful little family were crossing the street. They had toddlers, and I was like, oh, that's great. They were way, you know, I didn't have to slow down. And I was having a good time. I was relaxed. We were pumping music. We were singing. I don't know if you the ones of you that had a driver's license in here, in Sweden, when you learn how to drive, the teacher tells you have to keep your hands on the wheel 10 minutes to 2. You familiar with that? I didn't. Because I've had my driver's license for 25 years. I don't need to do that. So I had my hands, you know, in the center of the wheel on the horn. The thing is, but this beautiful little family has passed the crossing. I was about to pass the crossing with my car. And then this little boy, he was around maybe nine years old, was speeding really fast on his bicycle. I was like, no, I have to let him over so he can join his family. So I was braking really hard. And I didn't hear anything because we were listening to music, right? And the hands on the horn were pushed. Not only like that beep, it was more like and I didn't realize that for like 3-4 seconds. So the dad stops on the side of the street and says, like, staring at me. I was like, oh, sorry. I wanted to vanish from that place. I've got to do something to take me to another place. I'm going to preach the gospel somewhere else. Oh, that was the most embarrassing times of my life. You know, I was so relaxed. So I dropped all of my attention. So when I drove from that place, I needed to lower my window. I said, I didn't mean to, you know, honk the horn. He was like, okay, but he looks like me, like, you're an idiot. And I feel him, you know, I would have done the same thing. So we can actually be doing something and not pay attention to what's around us. But God wants us to pay attention to what's around us and be prepared to what he is doing. We need to be prepared to work alongside with him and rest within that. And not try to do his parts. You know, when we try to do his parts, we live stressed out lives. I've been through that. We worry, we feel fear, we fear anxiety and frustration. And the peace and joy flies out of the window. And the reason this happens is that we think that God needs our help. We meditate on the problem, rolling it over in the mind, in our minds, and worrying about it, trying to figure out how things should work out. It's like we're telling God, I think you need my help. I don't think you can take care of this situation. You know what worrying is good for? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It wears us out and gets us nowhere. Before we close, I'm gonna read one last scripture here from Hebrews 4 and verse 12 to 13. And it says, for the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You know, we not only need to just rest in Jesus, not only rest in work, but we need to rest in God's word and rest in peace. I know that rest in peace means that you can, you know, rip. We actually need to die from things, not die, you know, in this earth. But we need to die from things inside to be able to enter the rest of that he offers. So rest in peace means that we need to rest in the things that God offers you. This is really, really good news. Sometimes when we read this scripture, we can get, you know, scared. But this is really good news for anyone. Because the only thing I can do is to hold on to Jesus and to hold on to his promises, hold on to his word. So whatever we do, let's keep our eyes fixed and our hands, you know, on the word of God. Because it's discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Because we and our lives and our hearts are naked and exposed to the eyes of him. We could get scared of that and get afraid, but we don't have to. We could get, you know, encouraged by it. Because God knows you. He doesn't only know, this is important, he doesn't only know your actions, but he knows your heart. The worship band can come up. He knows the intentions of the heart. How good is that? He knows not only the things that shows, not only the things that you can say or do, he knows your heart. He knows your heart. That is really good news. Because sometimes we think that the harder we work and the more we do with our hands and our feet, the happier God gets. He doesn't. He don't need my hands. He doesn't need my feet. He wants me to serve. He wants me to work, but not because he needs me. He wants to use me. And we need to know something, that it is that God always, always starts with the heart. He always starts with my heart. He always starts with your heart. He never starts with my hands. He never starts with my feet. He never starts with my brain. He starts with my heart when he wants to say something, do something. But the cool thing is, he never stops there. He starts with the heart, but he never stops there. He always starts with the heart, but he never stops there. Because he wants the things that are in my heart, that he has put there, to go out in my feet, out in my hand, out in my brain, out through my mouth. And some of us, maybe you are one of those who need to drop your hands, like me. Drop your hands and realize that he is not impressed by our actions. Our actions can actually become a barrier between our hearts and his heart. So when I drop my hands and say, hey, I don't know, you don't need my actions, he can actually begin to speak to my heart. And we need to learn that. So some of us in here, we need to drop our hands and let God into the heart, because he always starts here. But I'm serving so hard, I'm working so hard, I'm praying, I'm reading, you know, it needs to start in the heart. Otherwise, it's a religion. God doesn't want religion. He wants your heart. He's a heart God. And he wants whatever is in here to go out through your hands and through your feet. And some of us, others of us, needs to get to work. Because we think God is only about the heart. You know, he's this cozy God. He only cares what's inside. I don't need to do anything. He's not like that. It can actually become an excuse for doing nothing. So even if you're either of these two categories, we need to invite God to speak to our hearts and get the actions going. Maybe you should sign up for a team today. Maybe you should decide to call someone today, a friend, a neighbor. Talk to someone, pray for someone, give something to someone, you know, because you've kept everything in here. So Jesus wants to do something new. And this passage that we've read today is written to encourage you that you need to rest in Jesus. You can rest in your work and you can rest in peace. So let me close with this. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says this to you. If you want, you can shut your eyes. Listen to what Jesus says to you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How awesome is that? So whatever you do today, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. There's no other place to go. There's no other person. There's no other thing you can do, but come to Jesus. Whatever state you're in, come to Jesus. I'm happy. Yes, but come to Jesus. I'm sad. Yeah, come to Jesus. I'm worried. I'm stressed out. Yeah, come to Jesus. Because he is the only one that always can give you what you need. Hey, can we stand together and pray? I'm going to pray over you. I want to pray that God speaks to your heart. And I want to pray that he gets the things that are in your heart out through you. Are you with me? Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We're so, so thankful for everything that you have told us, everything that is in this book that we read. Thank you for the old covenant. Thank you for the law. Thank you for the new covenant. Thank you for the gospel. We're so thankful. We want to say thank you, Lord, for giving us this moment today, that you've invited us to drop our hands. I pray for those who need to drop their hands and make a way into their own hearts for you. Help them to trust you. Help them to open themselves to you so they can walk out of here as renewed believers, renewed children of God. I also pray for those who are, you know, passive. And I want to pray that you will make everything, every seed that is sown into their heart, the soil of their heart, make it work. make it visible, make it so you can hear it and see it and touch it. Because the faith is about actions. Faith is about deeds, but it always starts in our hearts. So God, I want you to help us understand this, figure this out. And we want to trust you and we want to rest in you. Thank you for inviting us to rest in you. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.